You are now listening to the Legends Lingo Podcast. Here are your hosts, Al Powder and Maddie D.
All right, everybody, welcome back in Legends Lingo Podcast, episode 253, as always presented by studentunionsports.com. Make sure to check out everything at studentunionsports.com, from the daily blogs to all the podcasts, everything else in between. Al DeHegan here, Tom Powder Cadden is here, Maddie Burnett here, the whole crew's here, and if it sounds like I'm depressed, I'm really not. My Christmas was filled with COVID. So, yeah. Tested positive 2 days before Christmas. Girlfriend tested the day positive the day after Christmas. So we've been living a very cozy COVID Christmas. So it was tough, but we made it through. Hopefully you guys, Powder, Maddie, you guys' Christmases were a lot better.
Yes, spent it Christmas Eve with both sides of the family, me and Rachel's families, and then Christmas Day spent it in just relaxing, playing the new games we got and stuff like that.
Christmas Eve was the actual birthday, so turned 27 on Christmas Eve. Got to spend it with the family and all that. Had a good time. And Christmas Day, met my girlfriend's extended family, and that was a good time as well. Got to play with all my toys and all, you know, not all my candy, but a good amount of it so far. Got some good jerseys for Christmas this year, so I'm quite pleased with it. So
I miss the outdoors so much. I miss being able to go in my car.
I have a balcony.
I'm talking about actually going in my car and like driving down the street to like get gas or something like that.
Go through like a drive-through to get Dunks or something. Just wear a mask.
Oh my gosh. Maddie, you naive fool. But anyways, if you're wondering why the energy's not up for me, that's why. Still recovering, but feeling a lot better. So that's a good sign. But anyways, let's just get into all this, shall we? There's a good amount to talk about. Last episode of 2023, boys.
Yes, it is.
Yes, sir. Yes, it is.
Last episode before we jump into the new year of 2024. All right, let's get into it. Week 16, Patriots travel to Mile High Stadium, take on Denver Broncos. They come away with a last second 26-23 win. The win improves the Patriots to 4-11 on the season and slides them down in the tankathon standings from the second overall pick to currently the fourth overall pick, behind Chicago, Arizona, and Washington. Just kind of early thoughts of the game and early just analysis and everything. The Broncos are not good. I thought they would be so much better, especially with the way they've been playing lately. But Russell Wilson getting toward the end of his career, like he had a couple of nice drives to get the Broncos tied up, which was great. And I was like, oh, great. Broncos are going to pull this off. But then at the end, Sean Payton, just terrible play calling. Absolutely terrible to give the ball back to the Patriots. And you know what? You have to give credit where credit's due. Bailey Zappi played a really, really good game, especially that last drive, hitting Parker down the left sideline to get them into a position to get into field goal range somewhat. So shout out to Bailey Zappi. I don't know if you guys saw after the game, but Belichick and Zappi got rid of the handshake thing and they went for the hug thing. And Bailey Zappi was like, yeah, no more handshakes, Belichick. We're going with the hugs. And Belichick went along with it. Again, I'm glad the Patriots were competitive. They also got some big gifts in that game. I mean, first drive of the game, Broncos are at the Patriots 2 yard line, fourth down. Instead of taking the 3 points, they go for it and throw an incompletion. And then in the second half, the kickoff from Patriots to the Broncos fumble it. Patriots recover it in the end zone for a touchdown right after they just scored a touchdown, keep in mind. So they scored 14 points in a span of about 10 seconds. So but yeah, so I mean, that's pretty much all it is for right now. I mean, again, am I happy the Patriots won? Sure. But selfishly, also in the long term, it's like, well, now you're down to four. So now, unless you can get some help from the 49ers and the Cowboys with the Commanders, which you should, then you could probably move back up to three. Then you're back in the May, Williams, and Harrison Jr. sweepstakes to get at least one of them. So yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But that's my opening takes on the games. I want to hear from you guys. What do you think of the game? How it affects the Patriots' future, et cetera. The floor is yours, guys.
Maddie, you can go.
Well, man, all right. I mean, like you said, Al, like, I'm happy they kept it competitive. I'm happy this wasn't like a blowout loss or anything like that. I'm annoyed it's a win because, you know, I've been saying for weeks, like, all right, draft, just lose out, get a good pick, lose out and get Belichick nowhere near this draft. That's all you got to do. They can't even lose right. You got, you know, stupid Chad Ryland, who can't make a damn kick all game, decides to drill, what was it, like a 56, 57 yarder to win the game? Like, what? No. I don't think we're out of the running for a quarterback. Just because, let's just say hypothetically, let's say this is the way that the draft order works. I still think, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be the number one overall pick, assuming he declares he's going to go to Chicago. Arizona at two desperately needs an offensive lineman. They're going to take either Alt or Olu. Pick three is what? Washington? They'll either take whoever Arizona doesn't take at two, or they'll take Brock Bowers because they could desperately use a tight end as well. And then all of a sudden, he picks four and five, Patriots and Giants. That's where the two quarterbacks go, right there. That's all I got to say. It's annoying that they won. Thankfully, they're at Buffalo. Yeah, so, you know, we all know that's probably going to go. And, yeah, it's just like, yeah. Like, damn it, they won. But also, it's like, yay, they won. And it's like, why? I don't get why they waited this long to put Zappe into game, put him at the starting quarterback. He's not a starting quarterback in the league. Like, he's not the future. He's not the franchise. He's a solid backup. I think he's proven that. But it's just like, why didn't they do this weeks ago? Where they could have put themselves potentially into a position to cause some chaos. Not get into the list, just cause some chaos, you know, like make it fun. But it's just like, ah. We definitely could have beaten Washington if he was there the entire time. Definitely could have beaten New Orleans. It's two extra wins right there. Like,
I don't think you were beating New Orleans that day. They put 34 up on you. There was no way. Maybe Indy. Indy, I can see.
I forgot about this happening. Yeah, maybe we would have beaten Indy.
There you go. All right, Powder.
Giants, too.
Yeah, like you guys said, it's always good to see the Patriots win, but in this scenario of the season, not the greatest thing to see them win. But, yeah, it's good to see Zappe play well. Like you said, he's probably going to be a Patriots backup for a while, which isn't a bad thing. Hopefully Patriots can start winning and Zappe can just be along for the ride and be there if anything happens to their quarterback. But, yeah. Obviously, hoping the draft order kind of settles and the Patriots can find a way to get a franchise quarterback, even though they won this game. But like you guys said, yay for winning, but also boo for winning because we want the best draft pick we can get at this point.
It's kind of a confusing situation if you think about it, right? Because you wanted the Patriots to get it, number two, and it was right there in their draft. All they had to do was lose that game, and they still have number two with 2 weeks left. But now you're looking at, okay, Washington's probably going to lose out. Arizona's probably going to lose out. Really doesn't matter what the Panthers do. The Panthers lose next week, and Chicago's got the number one pick. So that doesn't matter. So I'm thinking in terms of 2 and 3, and it doesn't look like there's, a lot of hope for that pick. But again, which direction are you going to go in? Are you going to go in the direction that we're all saying and being like, okay, so even if, like, just hypothetically, Harrison Jr., May, and Williams were all gone, then maybe you go the Jaden Daniels route from LSU. Dual threat quarterback, can run the ball well, can throw it well, won the Heisman. Like, yeah, that seems like a good pick. Or are the Patriots crazy enough? Because we know that if we know Belichick's got some crazy in him. Are they crazy enough to say, you know what? Maybe we have something with Zappe. We have all this money that we can spend in the offseason in free agency, and we have a top 10 pick. So who's to say they will go with a guy like Joe Alt out of Notre Dame to shore up that offensive line and then use all their free agency money on actual weapons? Because if you look through, right, just look at their offensive line for next year. Trent Brown's probably gone. By the way, Trent Brown is pissing me off again. I can't stand him. He's such a baby. He is literally, he's a grown man child. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the video, but when the Patriots broke down, when they break down the huddle and go, oh, yeah, after a win, like, he leaves before they finish it. Like, it's just, everything. Just like, all right, go home then. Like, don't even bother showing up the last 2 weeks. Go home. Like, you're going to get a contract from someone else. David Andrews is getting older. City Show, we don't know how he's going to be. Mike Nwenu is a free agent. That's a guy that you need to keep. You need to extend him right away. Actually, him and his agent came out today and said that he would love to stay in the place that gave him his chance. So he wants to come back to the Patriots. They just got to make it happen. And then Cole Strange is a liability right now because he can't stay on the field. So there's a lot of questions on that offensive line. So I don't know. Maybe they do go with Joe Alt and they're just, and we're like, you know what? It sucks, but I mean, I guess it makes sense. It's not like he's a chopped liver offensive tackle. He's one of the best offensive tackles in the country right now. So maybe that translates in the NFL, but I don't know what they're going to do. Because now you put yourself in a position where you're playing the Bills next week, and you are probably going to lose that game. I don't care what you say. The Bills, they're going to have the revenge factor. They need the win. They're in Buffalo. They're playing better. So I can see the Patriots losing that. But then week 18, who do they have? The goddamn Jets, who they always beat, no matter what. Even when Mac Jones was quarterback, they beat him. And Zach Wilson's not a quarterback, and Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be coming through that door. So who's to say the Patriots will win that game, too? I think, and the last thing I'll say is, and then I promise I'll stop talking. I want to hear from you guys. If they lose out, the worst they can get is 4. If they split, the worst they can get is 7. If they somehow win the last 2 games, the worst they can get is 9. So you're getting a top 10 pick regardless of whatever happens. So put that into perspective. Just overall thoughts on the draft process. I know we talked about it a little bit, but we can talk about it a little bit more.
Yeah, I hope the Patriots lose out because I just want them to have the best opportunity to get the best player in whatever they figure that is, the best player for in the draft that's still available at whatever pick they get. And I hope that's a quarterback. And obviously, I hope they get the highest draft pick possible they can get to get the best quarterback in the draft that they can get. So hopefully, my hope is they lose out, but who knows what's going to happen the week 18 versus the Jets.
I mean, I'm with you, Powder. I'd love to see him lose out, even if that means like saying goodbye to this impressive streak we have against the Jets for beating them at home. Jets, they don't win in New England. They just don't. But I'd be willing to say goodbye to that fun little streak if that means to improve our draft position or keep it at 4 or whatever. When it comes to, you know, the offensive linemen in the draft, you know, there's Olu, there's Alt, like we said. There's another guy that nobody is giving any love to. He's a day 2 guy, possibly even day 3. His name is Tyler Guyton. He's from Oklahoma. Guy hasn't given up a sack this year. The guy's a wall, and he's not getting any looks to be a first-round talent, when I think he at least deserves something. At least if you're an offensive lineman in the country, and you don't give up a sack all year. You don't give up any hurries or anything like that. The dude's just a wall, and he's not getting enough. He's not getting the attention of Alt and Olu and anyone else really. But it's like this kid from Oklahoma. He's someone where if the Patriots took him in the second round or even the third round, that's someone who I'm going to be celebrating about right there. That's an offensive lineman you want. Someone who has already proven that they're a wall and that they can handle it. I mean, just last year, granted, Gonzalez was a great pick, and he would have been defensive rookie of the year this year if he had stayed healthy. But you know, we were talking about, all right, Broderick Jones, Peter Skoronski. You know, these two guys are it right here. And I mean, having quiet years, but still, regardless, I've been against taking an offensive lineman in the first round just because it's just, and Cole Strange kind of proves it, that, all right, liability right here.
Mm-hmm. It's so depressing. It's genuinely depressing because, and I texted Maddie this and he knows this. I texted him on Sunday and I said, look, the Panthers didn't finish the job. The Commanders didn't finish the job. The Bears, or the Cardinals, were going to beat the Bears. So it's like, usually there's an upset every week, and sure enough, Patriots hadn't played yet, and Denver is, you know, hit or miss, and Of course, the Patriots had to come away with it, but whatever. We'll take it in stride. But let's preview next week's game. Actually, before we preview next week's game, I got a quick question for you guys. Does this week's win and just the overall attitude of the players after the game change your opinion at all about Bill Belichick being here next year? Well, whether that's either way.
I mean, they're going to play for him. Like, he's their head coach. They're going to play for him every week. They've made that known. They're not going to tell them. And at the same time, they're also not going to tell the media what they're truly thinking. They're smart enough to do that.
They're not. But at the same time, you've seen it, Matt. And you've seen teams that you can tell. It's just like, look at the end of Josh McDaniels' tenure with the Raiders. Like, they weren't.
That's the Raiders, though. They're not even they're not really a disciplined team to begin with. You look at the Patriots. They are very disciplined. Mm-hmm. When it comes to, you know, how to show your emotions on the field, off the field, and all that, they're probably one of the most disciplined teams out there since Hernandez. So, even with how they were reacting in the locker room and all that, with Zappy hugging Belichick and all that, Matthew Slater looking hyped after a win, my opinion doesn't change at all.
You still want Belichick out?
Yeah. I mean, keep him around. It's like, we might get the same result again next year. We can, if Belichick gets his hands on the number four pick, you really don't think he's going to trade down? Come on now.
That's something that I heard today, actually.
Exactly. He's 100% going to trade down. Because he's going to have his eyes set on somebody, probably knowing Belichick, probably a defensive guy that we don't need. And it's going to be like, what are we doing here? Or he's going to think there's a guy like Jaden Daniels. Or better yet, he's going to get Bo the Joke Knicks and think, all right, we're saved when all we get is Mac Jones 2.0.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Powder? Does this change your opinion at all?
No, like Matt said, they're professionals. They're going to play for their head coach. And I definitely agree, especially the Patriots. They're very disciplined. They're going to. And they're playing for nothing against Josh McDaniels, but he's not Bill Belichick. Like, Belichick has the resume that players want to play under because he's just been the greatest coach in NFL history. It doesn't change. I still want someone new. I just think the Patriots need a complete overhaul and just get something new in there for next season. So it still doesn't change. I just think they're professionals. They're going to play hard. They're going to play for Belichick just because that's what professionals do.
So it changes my opinion a little bit. Last week, I was dead set on trade him, make sure he's not a part of the future, blah, blah, blah. This week, I'm like, you know what? I could get behind Bill Belichick being the head coach next year as long as they find a way to take the personnel rights away from him. Again, don't give him the opportunity to take that fourth overall pick. Will he probably take it? Yes.
I just can't see. I can't see him giving up the GM power and staying as a coach. I just can't. I can't see it.
Maybe he could fool us. But I'll tell you what. Again, the Patriots have so much money in free agency. They have at least a top 10 pick on their hands. If they don't improve next year, then there's no excuse to keep Belichick around after that. There's none.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Period. But other news real quick, Ramondre Stevenson put on IR, season-ending IR. We kind of expected that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Matty Dodds, an improvement over there. He's just like, all right, let's get on with this. Okay. Any other Patriots tidbits you guys want to bring up, or do we want to talk about
nothing? Sorry, I'm doing my homework you gave me right before we started recording, bud.
Oh, imagine if you did it like when I asked you. Okay, anyways.
You asked me like 2 minutes before we started recording. And then
didn't we talk for like 5-10 minutes?
No, we like immediately just started recording right after, actually.
I don't know. The details
are your head, bud.
I'll say the details are getting a little fuzzy over here, but that's one thing I know is that definitely asked you like a couple minutes before we were talking, a couple minutes before we started recording.
I think my grandpa was actually talking to make sure you and your lady were all right. So,
yeah, because you didn't do that.
Anyways.
Anyways. All right. enough about this Patriots team. Let's talk about another depressing Boston sports team. Let's talk about the Red Sox. So the Red Sox decided that they were going to get, quote, uncomfortable potentially with doing everything they could to sign Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Yamamoto is not a Red Sox. He ends up as a Los Angeles Dodger. I believe it was 12 years, $325 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
I mean, are we really surprised that it was the Dodgers? Are we really surprised? No. Again, big market team. They're making it clear. They want to win a World Series. They're doing everything they can. They get Ohtani with the deferred payments. Now they get Yamamoto. But now it's, okay, what is the next step? Because there's been a couple rumors out there. I know Teoscar Hernandez has been in Red Sox rumors and everything. He's an outfielder, not a starting pitcher. Jordan Montgomery is another name that's out there. But according to one Red Sox source, this was in a Sean McAdam article, basically the Red Sox official was asked about Jordan Montgomery being an option, and the official kind of scoffed at it and said that that's not fitting into like what the Red Sox want to do for payroll. If Jordan Montgomery is not in your plans and you don't want to sign him, then what is the point of owning this baseball team? What are you going to do to improve that actually makes a move? Are you going to trade for a frontline starter? Are you going to trade for a Logan Gilbert from Seattle? You tried to do that. Seattle basically laughed in your face. So what are you going to do now that you lost out on Yamamoto? And you apparently don't want Montgomery. What's next? You're not going to, okay, so clearly you're not going to sign Blake Snell because Snell's in his 30s. The Red Sox are again signing people in their 30s to long contracts. So what is the move? And I don't know if you guys have a move that I'm just not aware of, but someone tell me, what's the transition now? What's the direction? Because I don't have a clear direction anymore.
It should be Jordan Montgomery, but if the Red Sox are saying that doesn't fit their payroll, I don't know what their next best thing is. Are they going to turn into the Rays and the A's and the fucking, or I was going to say Royals, but the Royals are spending money this winter, so I don't even know, like. It's very frustrating being a Red Sox fan right now and just seeing them. Like, yes, rumors are Yamamoto got the same offer from the Mets and maybe $300 million from the Yankees, and he chose the Dodgers. Dodgers are just, they're the destination to go play right now. If you want to, like, the Mets, they're still the Mets. They're still the franchise that just crumbles on itself, even with Steve Cohen. And the Yankees, it's just, he probably wanted to go out to the West Coast, to LA, where you can be a star and helps your brand. Like, it's, as much as I miss Mookie, and Maddie and I were texting about Mookie earlier this week, it's helped Mookie in his brand tenfold. Like, it's just making Mookie more money being in LA than even being in Boston. It's just a market where he is. I don't think, unless the Red Sox absolutely, maybe if they offered him $375 million where it wasn't even close, maybe he signs with the Red Sox. But I don't think the Red Sox are probably at $275 million with their final. I don't know. I haven't heard any rumors what their final offer was. I don't know if it's out there. But I just, it's very frustrating seeing the Red Sox whiff on this free agent, which, whatever, it happens. Free agents get to choose where they go. But if it's not even in your plans to sign Montgomery, then like you said, Al, sell the team, get owner that wants to build a winner. Just get someone who's obviously maybe not as rich as Steve Cohen, but that's that type, that's a fan. I like fan owners because they care what the product is on the field. And you know Steve Cohen isn't happy right now that the Mets did what the Mets did, and he's gonna find a way to get the Mets to win and everything. And LA is just a place to be, but you need to change that. You need to have Boston be a place to be again.
I got nothing to say at this point. It's a joke. John Eder needs to sell this team. Like,
sell it, John.
No point in watching the Red Sox team. You know what next year is going to look like.
Oh, yeah.
You are, like, we all, the three of us know. We're going to be coming on here, like, during the summer and everything and being like, yep, guess what? The Red Sox got swept by this team and this team and this team. Now they got four-game set with, you know, the Yankees and other teams that they're going to get their ass kicked by. Like, it's not fun. Like, I'm literally expecting the Red Sox to sign, like, Heath Hembry. Like, that's how ridiculous they are. He hasn't played since, he was with, the Toledo Mud Hens or whatever they're called? Like, yeah. That's the last time we saw him on throw a baseball. Yeah.
The Yankees.
I don't know what to say at this point. Like, it's just you don't want to spend money. Why hike the prices for fans to come to Fenway? Exactly. Like, you want us to spend money for you? Like, no.
The Yankees got Soto. The Orioles are a young up and coming team that's going to be good for, depending on if they want to spend money and extend their stars, but they could be good for next 10 years. The Rays just find ways to keep themselves relevant, even though they just traded Glasnow. You know, they're going to have some random guy that no one's heard of that comes in, fills that spot. The Jays have a very good roster. They
just signed IKF today, right? Or IKF.
Yeah. And they got Kiermaier back. So they're still good. Like, the Red Sox are doing nothing to improve in the toughest division in baseball. For a majority of the season this year, till the Red Sox started shitting the bed, every team was above 500 in the AL East. Like, it's the toughest division in baseball. And it's not getting any easier, and the Red Sox are actually getting worse when everybody else is getting better.
Like the Patriots with the freaking AFC East. They all got better. They got worse.
Yep.
This team blows.
This team sucks. This team sucks.
Yep.
I mean, they have Rafi Devers. Cool. They have a broken down for sale who will probably break his pinky again by walking down the road.
Does Rafi have a no trade clause?
I have no idea. I have
like, so if he doesn't, how long until he requests a trade?
I think he's fine. I think because he's gotten paid, he's already got his World Series ring. He's fine.
Yeah, but no, he might be looking at LA. Like, oh, I want to go out there. That looks like fun.
Yeah, or maybe hey, San Diego looks kind of cool. I can hang out with Xander again.
Yeah, that too.
I don't know, man.
I have to.
Yeah, it's not great.
This is by far the most depressing episode we've ever done.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. Powder, you talked about owners that are fans, right? You made that point, how you like that. You know who's a good owner that's a fan of his team?
Who's that?
Whit Grosbeck and the Boston Celtics, who we're actually going to talk about next real quick. But before we get into that, Powder, you got to tell us a little bit about A&B Burgers, A&B Kitchen and Bar.
Yes, as I say every week, A&B Kitchen and Bar and A&B Burgers sponsors Legends Lingo, and we're graciously sponsored by them. A&B Kitchen and Bar is located right across the street from the TD Garden. Great spot to meet up before, after, even during a Bruins or Celtics game, or even concert at the Garden. A&B Burgers is in Beverly, Mass, up in the North Shore. I was at A&B Burgers last Thursday, so just about a week ago. They just changed their menu. They added Detroit style pizza, so it's kind of like a deep dish pizza where they put all the toppings on, then they put the sauce and cheese. It's actually really, really good for a burger place. Putting out a pizza is really good. Still the best burger I've ever had at A&B Burgers, A&B Kitchen and Bar. And whenever you head out there, either to Boston or Beverly, make sure you tell them the Legends Lingo Boys sent you.
I'll have to do that when I go out there in March.
Shout out to our friends at A&B Kitchen Bar, A&B Burgers.
I'm coming soon, boys. I'm coming soon.
Let's go.
Everybody, cooks and, you know, people like waiters, waitresses, everything, just be aware. Maddie B's coming.
Just get that menu ready. I'm getting one of everything that day.
help us. Just help us. All right, let's talk about the Celtics real quick. Then we got a fun little thing at the end. Celtics coming off a big four-game West Coast trip. ended up losing in overtime to the Warriors, but then won big against the Sacramento Kings the following night and back-to-back. Then they won on Friday afternoon in LA against the Clippers in another big win. And then they had a double-digit win on Christmas Day at the Lakers, finishing the road trip at 3-1. Probably could have been 4-0. And right now, as it stands, as we're recording on Wednesday, December 27th, and again, our last episode of 2023, that's really, really sad.
I'm going to miss you guys.
Till next week.
Yeah.
Celtics currently are 23-6, a game and a half up on the Bucks for first place in the Eastern Conference. Did this West Coast trip show you guys anything?
Sure, they are going to win the title this year. I mean, I think we knew that already, but they're going to win the title this year. This road trip kind of just sealed the deal for me.
Okay, about it?
I agree with Matt. He just shows the Celtics are just hungry at every opportunity they have. They're going to find a way to win as many games as they can, and they're just a dangerous team to play. I wouldn't want to play them in a seven-game series.
So I'll say this. I agree for the most part, except for if they play the Golden State Warriors. Because for whatever reason, against the Warriors, Celtics just find a way to crumble late in games. It's just, I think it's a mentality thing at this point. I think it's still having the nightmares from the 2022 finals. When you were up 2-1 in the series and could have, you were about 5 minutes away from going up 3-1 and potentially having the championship won at that point. And they just find ways to lose against the Warriors. And it's tough to take. They don't do it all the time. Like they've come away with some wins since then, but for the most part, in a Warriors game, you can never be comfortable. You could be up 12 with 30 seconds left. I'm not comfortable against Golden State because they can just come down, boom, 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 to tie a game. So that's the one thing that I learned is that you still need to, you got to take care of teams when you have the opportunity to exercise some demons, and they didn't exercise that demon against the Warriors. But other than that, I mean, they're showing that against like the elite of the elite, Sacramento, the Clippers, the Lakers, beating the Magic twice at home, beating, who did they play before the Magic, beating the Cavaliers twice at home. They should be able to beat anybody. Like even this year against Philly, I think they beat Philly and then they lost to Philly by 3 in Philly in a game that they had no business being in. And then Milwaukee, they smoked Milwaukee. Or they didn't smoke Milwaukee, they were smoking Milwaukee, and then Milwaukee made it close to the end. But I don't know if you guys saw the schedule, but in January, the 10th and the 11th, they have a hard, and I mean hard, back-to-back. They're home against Minnesota, who's one of the best teams in the West right now. And the following day, they're in Milwaukee against the Bucks. Mm-hmm. That's a tough back-to-back.
That's rough.
They do have an easy three-game kind of stretch here. They have the Detroit Pistons, who have lost 27 in a row on Thursday night. On Saturday night, the Celtics are playing. Is it Saturday night or is it Friday night?
It's Friday.
Friday?
Yep, I'm down now.
Yeah, it's
Friday against the Raptors.
Yeah, so they have a back-to-back. And then Sunday night, they're at San Antonio to play the Spurs, who the Mbanyama, despite having Victor Wembanyama, are one of the worst teams in the NBA. Then you have a game against the Thunder. That'll be a good game. And you have the Jazz, who aren't that good. Then you got the Pacers for a two-game stretch. But again, a stretch of games where they should be fine and they should win a lot of these. What I would like to see before January 11th against the Bucks, I'd like them to get one more game advantage, have a nice little 2.5 game cushion. That way, if they lose that game, they'll still be a game and a half up. So that's what I'd like to see. I mean, they're continuing to roll through people. They just got to make sure they're healthy, especially guys like Kristaps Porzingis, making sure that he's all rested up, making sure Tatum's ankle is fine. So again, Celtics continue to roll through 23-6, a little over a third of the way into the season. So it's looking pretty good. And shout out Joe Mazzulla, as always. All right. Last little thing that we have for the end of the podcast. So if you listen to this, you know that the three of us are in the fantasy football league, the Trashy Jelly Donuts. It is the three of us. Diego Galvis, who you've heard on the podcast before, Wally Jaha, who used to be part of Couch Guy Sports with all of us, and then my brother and my brother's two friends. We have completed the semifinals. I was the one seed. Powder was the three seed. We both won our respective matchups. Powder and I are in the championship playing against each other. And yeah, so Powder and I are in the championship. So I figured, you know what? Maddie is not, and Maddie is a good football mind and knows all the players and everything else. So Maddie's going to give us a little breakdown and give us a little prediction for the championship match. So Maddie, the floor is yours.
I'm going to break it down position by position because that's just the fastest way I can do this.
Fair enough.
All right, so quarterback, Powder, you have Mahomes. Al, you have Hurts. Both been kind of struggling lately. I think that's fair to say. However, I do like Hurts against Arizona more than I like Mahomes against Cincinnati. Just because Cincinnati, they are right in the middle of things for a playoff push. So I think, you know, they're really going to go after Mahomes. Plus, on top of that, Cincinnati in the regular season has Mahomes' number. They do. Postseason, different story. But regular season, Cincinnati has Mahomes' number.
And just to be clear, Maddie's going to read Powder's players first and then mine second, just so there's no confusion.
Well, I'm doing it both at the same time. Like, I'll say, Powder, you have this. Al, you
Yes.
All right. Powder, you have, what the hell is this? Oh, Aaron Jones at running back. And Al, you have McCaffrey at running back one. Next. All right.
Do you see the stat that, like, 58% of people who have McCaffrey are in the championship?
Yeah.
Something ridiculous like that.
Next. Do you even have anyone on your bench that's worth it? I don't even... maybe Saquon, but that's about it. Yeah. Next. Let's see. Powder, you have Kyren Williams. I like that against... who the hell is this? Javonte Williams. Yeah. Next. All right. So you guys split on the running backs. Wide receiver one, Al, you have T. Higgins, who's, you know, who's been electric as of late. Powder, you have T. Higgins. Sorry.
That's why I said to make it clear, dum-dum.
Shut up. Anyways. Powder, you have T. Higgins, who's been electric as of late. Al, you have Tyreek Hill. Here's the thing. Is Tyreek Hill playing?
Yes.
Well, he's questionable, Al, so we don't know that for a fact.
They've said he's playing.
Well, they can say one thing, and then he tweaks it during warm-ups, and all of a sudden he ain't playing. Just saying. So, but at the same time, it is Tyreek Hill, so I'm going to give Al the edge again. All right, wide receiver two. Mike Evans for Powder. A.J. Brown for Al. Powder, I'm going to give you the edge here. The Baker and Evans connection, it's been something this year. It's been great. Baker has a home in Tampa, and they have been on the same page all season long. A.J. Brown obviously had that ridiculous stretch, but again, Eagles are kind of, you know, they've come back down to earth, so it's tough to say. Tight ends, Powder, you have Njoku, who's been good as of late with Flacco. Powder, Al, you have Kittle. You know, this is going to be a cop-out answer here, but I don't care. That's a good split. That's a good even split right there. Just because Purdy does have the stinger. So we all know what happened last time Purdy got a stinger. And Flacco looks like he's, like, in his prime with the Browns. So
true.
And Njoku has been one of the popular targets for Flacco. All right, your flexes. This is where I'm going to yell at you, Al. All right.
I'm going to make a change.
Huh?
I'm going to make a change to that.
Okay. David Montgomery for you, Powder. Looking at the rest of your bench, that's perfectly fine. Al, you have Ezekiel Elliott. You absolutely should have Amari Cooper.
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Absolutely should have Amari Cooper there.
I will be putting Amari Cooper into my flex spot.
All right. Your defense and special teams, Seattle for Powder. You know, I like it, Powder. But the Rams' defense is available, and they're going up against Atlanta, who, you know, sucks, right? No, they're going up against the Giants, who suck.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got freaking Tyrod Taylor at QB1, and I think the Italian Tommy DeVito at quarterback, too. So something to think about there for you, Powder. Al, yeah, I don't need to really explain that one at all. You have San Francisco's defense going up against Washington. Have fun, Al. Then we got Nick Falk for Powder and Evan McPherson for L. I mean, they're two of the better kickers in the league. Yeah, Powder, good luck against Al. That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say.
So you're saying that you think I'm going to win the championship?
I think ESPN might have it right where you're going to smoke him.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, give me Powder. I will say this, in all honesty, when Maddie was reading off the teams, I was like, wow, Powder has got an actual solid squad.
He does. But here's the thing, Al. Your team is too damn good. That's the thing.
How did you guys let me get this good of a team?
Well, remember, draft night, we're all, you guys, you even said out draft night, you're like, oh, Matt, look at your team. Matty, your team's amazing. And then I'm in the freaking seventh place match this week, so.
I thought your team was going to be good.
So did I, Al. So did I.
Oh, man. All right, so there you have it. So don't forget, this is a two-week matchup as well.
Yep.
So that's
we'll come back next week and I'll get up by like 45 already. Game over.
I hope I can somehow keep it close, and then the Eagles game means nothing for them and Hurts doesn't play, and it means something for Mahomes and he throws up like 5 touchdowns and somehow I miraculously win. But Al's just been that team, like his team name says, Redemption Tour. I wasn't in the league last year, but he had one game last year. Yeah, now you have one loss. Hopefully I can somehow give you a miracle second loss and win this championship. But you know what? Being a, what was I, 7-7 or 8-6, whatever I was, making into the playoffs, making the championship, you know what? Year one, I haven't done fantasy in a few years. It feels good to be back.
I will say, out of anybody in this league, I am glad that it is you and I in the championship. I'm glad you are with me here. Will be a fun matchup. So good luck.
And, I'm looking at your bench too, Powder, really quick.
Yeah. I just added the Rams defense, so.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at your bench too. I mean, something to consider. You got Gabe Davis, Keenan Allen, and Zay Flowers.
Yeah.
Something to think about right there. That's all I got to say. I know Gabe Davis only has 8.4 projected points, but it's like, if him and Allen like connect for 3 touchdowns, it's like, holy shit right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they do that sometimes, where it's just for some reason, Gabe Davis will just catch every freaking touchdown for Josh Allen. And especially where they're going up against the Pats, and yeah, the Pats have a great defense, but at the same time, it's the freaking Pats.
Yep.
Something to think about there. I know you have a great fantasy football mind, Powder, so something to think about there.
Thank you.
But overall, I mean, both your teams are solid. I mean, Al, I don't know what the hell we did wrong.
I know. So.
Hey, lesson learned for everybody. Show up to the draft.
Yeah, we'll just drug Al next year since we're doing it in person.
So. Yeah.
Well, it's on tape now, so if anybody wonders what happens, there is legal documentation.
Yep, perfect.
All right, I think that's pretty much it. Oh, we do have to do score predictions for the Patriots-Bills game on Sunday. We forgot to do that earlier. 24-20 Bills.
I'm going to go. I think it's not going to be close. I think it's going to be 30-10 Bills.
I will go, you know what? Just for fun, I'm going to go 28-3. Just for fun. Why not?
Listen, man.
End the year off with a banger, you know?
Listen, man, these division games, they're crazy. You don't know what happens, so.
28-3, that's what I'm going to roll with.
Last thing before we depart for the week and for
the year
2023, yeah? Two-part question. Who is one guest that we want to get on this program that we have not gotten on yet? And what is one Boston sports thing that you would like to see happen in 2024?
Guest has been someone I want for a long time. I think he would be kind of electric. And I think he's someone we can get. We've been all around him for years now. And that Zolak, I just think he would be, I think his personality would be good on this podcast to get an interview with. So he's who I want. Maddie, you can do guests or Al, and then I can do what I want to see in 2024.
All right, guests. I mean, we already reached out to him a couple of weeks ago. I know him personally. He's a good dude. I think you two would have a lot of fun with him talking Red Sox with him. Let's get Milliken on here. Let's get him. Let's go get him, boys.
All right. I'm trying to think. One person that I would like to get on this program. You know who I'd want? Similar to Powder in the sense of that show. Give me Rob Hardy Poole on here. That would be a fun one.
Oh, God.
I would love Rob Hardy.
Good.
If I can have a second one, it would be Jay Hay from Baseball's Dead. I've reached out to him a few times. I think he's someone who we will get in 2024.
I think we can get him.
Yep.
All right. One Boston sports thing we want to see in 2024.
Matt, you want to go?
Come back to me.
All right. I'll start. Mine's very simple. I want to see the Boston Celtics win the championship. They have the team to do it. They've pulled out all the stops. There's no more excuses anymore. No more Marcus Smart. No more Rob Williams. No more Grant Williams. There's no more excuses. You have a good team, the best starting five arguably in the league. Go win the damn title.
A competitive Red Sox team in 2024. That's why I want, obviously, I think the Celtics, that's what we all want. That's the easy answer. No offense to you, Al, but I just want a competitive Red Sox team in 2024. I don't need them to win a World Series. Not even really make the playoffs. Just be competitive. Be fun for 80% of the season. Then whatever, in late September, fall off. But be fun to watch.
Yeah. Burnett?
Let's get Drake May and let's go get a top wide receiver. Bring him to New England. Let's go get him. That's what I'd love to see.
You okay?
Like a top receiver, like either like T. Higgins and Mike Evans. Let's go get one of them. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. Pull the trigger. You know what? Surprise everyone and get both out of nowhere. And have your wide receiver 3 be Kendrick Bourne. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would involve the Patriots to spend money on offense. Don't
know. I know. Wishful thinking.
It is wishful thinking. All right. I think that's basically it.
Yeah, I think that was a very good episode, guys.
Us too. So for all of us here at Legends Lingo, we wish everybody a happy new year. And make sure to make good decisions, be safe, be smart.
Learn from my mistakes.
Yeah, learn from Powder's mistakes. But Manny doesn't even know that story, does he?
No.
What story?
We got to tell him next week.
Yeah, we'll tell him later.
Powder, are you okay with telling the story?
100%. I tell it all the time, so I'm
okay.
Good.
So next week, to start off the new year, we're going to talk about Powder's new year's story. it's going to be great.
Which is one of the main reasons Al is one of my groomsmen. For many other reasons, but showed me how good of a friend Al really is.
As always.
At least you got the invite, Al.
As always, make sure to subscribe to the Legends Lingo Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, everywhere else where you can get your podcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Lingo Legends. Again, we will maybe be back next week in the new year. Hopefully we will be. If nothing else, that is Tom Powder Cadmus. That's Matty Burnett. I'm your host, Al Nahegan. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening to episode 253. And we will see you in the new year for first episode of 2024. And episode 254.
Yes, sir.